Tonight's shiur, we're going to dedicate Leiloi Nishmas Chana Bela Ephras Bas Moshe, who embodied this Torah that we're about to learn. It's a very world-famous Torah, but it's something that requires Chazara each and every day. Each and every day. The Pasuk says, Vayigadlu Hanarim, the Ne'arim, the children grew up, Vayichi Esav, Vayhi Esav, Ish Yodeit Sayid. Esav was a man who understood hunting, a very interesting idea, who Yodeya, he knew Sayid. Ish Sada, a man of the field. V'Yakov, Ish Tam, and Yaakov was a Tam. It's commonly translated as a simple man. Yoshev Ohal. So Rashi immediately chimes up, and Rashi says, what do you mean? What was going on until then? They weren't that their whole lives. So Rashi says, up until they were 13, they looked identical. I don't think it meant identical twins, because clearly we already got a description of Esav as being a redhead and Yaakov as not being a redhead. But you got up until they were 13, they were very similar. Once they turned 13, all of a sudden their personality differences became bolate. They stood out, and Esav ran to become this hunter in the field, and Yaakov went into the tent and he started learning much Torah. If I wasn't Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, I wouldn't say this. But since Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch said it, we could say it in his name. And again, everything we're going to say, we have to say with a large understanding that the people we're dealing with were giants, who their mistakes are nothing in the scheme of things. But for these people, they become large mistakes. And I wouldn't say it if Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch didn't say it. Rav Shimshon Velasher said, our Chachamim, who never objected to draw attention to the small and great mistakes and weaknesses in the history of our great forefathers, by Pasuk Chav Zayin over there, and thereby make them just more instructive for us. So, we have to learn from the mistakes of the Chum. Here too, on Vayigadlu, they make a remark which is indeed a signpost for all of us. They point out the striking contrast in the grandchildren of Avram may have been due not so much a difference in their temperaments as to the mistakes that they were brought up. Wow. Yeah. As long as they were little, no attention was paid to the slumbering differences in their nature. Meaning Yaakov and Esav slept in the Sayid twins, and I could relate to this, right? The first 3 years of their lives, I don't think they were in different rooms. I think like they were raised identically. But then, as they grew up, you know, the first year in preschool, they were in the same class. The second year in preschool, they were in different classes. The third year in their preschool, they were in different schools. Fourth year, they were different continents, you know. But there was a difference in the way they were raised. Again, we were fortunate in this regard that one was a boy and one was a girl, and it kind of made the differences obvious. But Yitzchak raised, and Rivka raised Yaakov and Esav in identical ways. No attention was paid to the slumbering differences in the nature. Both had exactly the same teaching and educational treatment. They both went to the same yeshiva. And the great law of education, chinuch lenar al pi darko, when you mechanech the child based on his particular derech, bring up each child and according to his way, was forgotten. That each child must be treated differently, with an eye to slumbering tendencies of nature, and out of them be educated, develop his special characters for the one pure human and Jewish life. The great Jewish task in life is basically a simple one, that the same for all, but in realization is as complicated and varied as human natures. Meaning the goal of all of Jewish education is the one. That's kol pal Hashem l'maneihu, to everything l'shem shemayim, right? What is different is the actualization of that dream. That is as complicated and varied as the human natures, and tendencies are varied in the manifold varieties of life that result from them. Wow. You have to pay attention to all of the various nuances of a child. Meaning, you're going to have children who are very, very different. To educate them in the same way is, excuse me, you're killing the child. Because you are making sure that that child's potential will never be actualized. You see, what happens very often in parenting, and all parents are guilty of this, is when you look at kids, we're not looking at the child, but rather we're looking at ourselves and trying to say, what's going to be my nachas? And when you do that, you look at the child, and you say, oh wait, but this is the way I am, this is the way he's got to be, the greatest nachas if he follows my footsteps. But the greatest challenge of a parent is to look at a child and to be able to recognize the unique talent and potential that each and every child has. And then, when you see the unique challenge, when you see the unique talent that kid has, then chinuch l'nar al pi darko. What Rav Shimshon Val Hirsch is saying is that had Esav's derech been identified at a young age, and we would have sent that to the proper place, then it could have been, you could have had two giants. It didn't mean that all Klai Yisrael had to go through Yaakov. We wouldn't be called Bnei Yaakov, we were called Bnei Yitzchak. Why are we called Bnei Yisrael? Because when Father Yaakov visualized the Cheshvatim of our nation in the sun standing around his deathbed, he saw not only future priests and teachers. He didn't only see people learning. He saw around him the tribe of Levites, the Shvatim, the tribes of royalty, or merchants, farmers, soldiers. Before his mental eye, he saw the nation in all its most manifold characteristics and diverse paths of life. And he blessed all of them. Ish kiverchaso veirach osam. Every man according to his own bracha. That is godless. Godless is, not to say everybody's got to be the same, but godless is to be able to identify each kid into unique, their own unique potential. Each according to his specialty with and its different path in life did he bless them. For the covenant with God established with Avram wants to win a wholehearted national life. A whole, fresh, complete life nation with its manifold classes and occupations. All the various occupations. All for one, with the same great task of life. What? Lishmor derech Hashem, lasot tzedakah u'mashmah. Everybody has to go. There's also thing is not everybody doing it l'shem shemayim. Everything's got to be done l'shem shemayim. But it doesn't mean everybody's got to be the same l'shem shemayim. To me, one of the hardest things as an educator is l'chanech l'nar al pi darko. Right? Because one kid comes to me and says, Rebbe, I really need to get out of a Chumash class. And I'm like, okay, great. Another kid comes, Rebbe, I really need to get out of Chumash. Really? No. You belong in that class. Not only that, you should take it harder. But wait, but you told Reuven. No. For Reuven, it was the best. Because Reuven needs to focus on Gemara and Chazer. But for you, you are going to be a Baki in Chumash. What I'm saying is the most obvious things in the world, and yet we all forget it. Kids don't realize it for sure, but parents very often forget this critical message. Their strength and courage are less than brain and lofty thought. And fine fellows that have the respective before representatives before God and all in the most varied ways of their callings are to achieve the one great task of life. Right? So this is the avoda of parents. And this is really the way, of course, all start. The Chavis the Talmidim, the great sefer written by the Tzvi Zetzner, is written. The famous Kalman Epstein. He begins the sefer. Shlomo Melech Amar B'Mishlei Chanuch Lanar Pidarko Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yosir Mimena. Chanuch Lanar, treat every child according to his path, so that when he gets old, he shouldn't stray from the path. He says Zeh Wiker Chinuch. Shalom Bilvad B'Shah Shanar. You're not raising a child. You're not mechanech the child so he does mitzvahs when he's 4 years old. You're raising a child so that eventually the end game is that he's going to keep the mitzvahs. So it's not when your father's hand is over him he does his ways. It's also when he grows up. So when he gets older, chinuch is not just a commandment to do. You tell your kid, you know, buddy, hey, take out the garbage. And that your kid takes out the garbage. No. It's not just the nature that you try to inculcate into the boy. More than that he does it, more than the fact that he gets used to it. That is chinuch. The commandment plus the fact that he gets used to it. Rak kli tashmishayim. They're only a means. Shemechanech muchruk l'shtamish. The mechanech must utilize. Letzavos la'agila. Why? Kedei lechanecho b'derech Hashem. That explains what chinuch is. But you see that this is how this is the aleph beis of chinuch. The aleph beis of chinuch is to recognize your kid's path. And the Gra comments, failure to recognize your kid's path will mean you won't fulfill the second part of the pasuk. Chinuch l'nar al pi darko. Why? Gam ki yatzkin lo yosir. So when he gets older, he won't stray from the path. Rav Shimshon of Hirsch saying the same thing. What happened, Esav? He wasn't mechanech al pidarko. So what happened? The second part of the pasuk wasn't fulfilled. Gam ki yaskin lo yasir mena. So when he gets older, he won't stray from the path. But guess what? Esav strayed from the path. Why? Because there wasn't chinuch based on his derech. The chinuch of Esav sitting around in yeshiva was a faulty chinuch. And therefore, Esav goes off the derech, because when he was raised, he should have been raised to do something else. To raise Esav to be an accountant, you know, to raise Esav to sit in the yeshiva, maybe he should have been more active learner. We'll see it exactly what he says in the Rav Shimshon of Hirsch point out, but there are more productive ways he could have spent his time than being somebody sitting in yeshiva. But just because of that, let's continue. Must each one be brought up al pi darko, according to the presumed path of life to which his tendencies lead, each one differently to the one great goal. Right? Now, we didn't stress that Yaakov Avinu understood this. This is why it's called Bnei Yisrael. What was Yaakov's godless? Because Yaakov, again, it's crazy to think about this, because we all know that Yaakov had children who fought internally. And they're ultimately the reason why we have the Churban, because of the sin of Chinam. But in the end of the day, Yaakov got it right. He had 12 boys die his deathbed. Each one according to their own unique potential, all appreciating the other one's strengths. And therefore, that's why we're Bnei Yisrael. Because we're Bnei Yisrael, because we all were children of that. To try to bring up Yaakov and Esav in the same college, though, which is what Yitzchak's school was, make them have the same habits and hobbies, want to teach and educate them in the same way for some studious, sedate, meditative life, is the surest way to court disaster. Right? What do we do today with kids who are hyperactive? Unfortunately, we put them in yeshiva. What do? Instead of playing to their strengths, what do? We give them Ritalin. Right? We give them medication. Oh, Concerta. This whole notion, again, maybe I shouldn't say this as a school, you know, principal. This whole notion that every kid's got to go to school to get an education is a recent phenomenon. It didn't exist more than 150 years ago. Right? What kids who were wild before that do?
Got a profession.
Yeah, they got a profession. They went to the farm. They farmed. This whole idea that everybody's got to have a book education is a recent phenomenon. It's a well-known story of the Nitziv. What's the story of the Nitziv? And I'll give you Rabbi Bolzum's Ha'ar in a moment, which is actually brilliant. But the Nitziv was once overhearing a conversation between his parents. And his parents were discussing him dropping out of yeshiva, right? And the Nitziv was ready to drop out of yeshiva. He said, okay, he'll go to the farm, he'll make shoes. He's going to be a shoe man, right? Whatever they do, shoe repairman. And the Nitziv was on the verge of that, and he went to sleep that night. He had a famous dream that the Ein Megdaber. Later on in his life, when he wrote the Ein Megdaber, he made a big party and invited everybody. He said, why'd you make it? He goes, because he told the story. He goes, I had a dream. And I was a shoeman. And when I got up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Ein Megdaber. I didn't even know what it was. So he says, this is what you could have written had you stayed in learning. So the next day, he said to his parents, I got to stay. And he fought. He stayed in learning. And the Tzim was able to publish, you know, many Sfarim, not just the Ein Megdaber. And that's, you know, sometimes you got to fight. But there's a corollary to the story. One day, a guy's going to get up to Shemayim. He's going to present the Kodesh Baruch Hu Sefer. The Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to say, where's the shoes? Where are the shoes? You didn't utilize your kachas for me. You utilized your kachas for you. I didn't want your sperm. I wanted your shoes. That's why he balls himself suffer. It's very brilliant, right? The Gemara Chagiga tells a world famous story that the Kodesh Baruch Hu cries over three things. I never remember the third, but one of them is that people who shouldn't be learning. I'm sorry, one of them is people who don't learn who should be learning. One of them is people who learn who shouldn't be learning. Chinuch al pi darko means what the crux is, what it says at the end of Mesillas Yesharim. I'm embarrassed. I couldn't find my Mesillas Yesharim here in the house, but I wanted a quote from it. The Mesillas Yesharim says, the very, very end of Mesillas Yesharim says, it's not relevant how much you learn. He goes, the same schar can be given to the guy who sits and learns all day versus the garbage man. But what's the common denominator that's going to give them the schar at the end of the day? Kol pal Hashem l'maneu. They have to do all of their activities for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if it's kol pal Hashem l'maneu, then mamela, they're going to be able to earn that schar. And that's up to each and every individual. to try to bring up Jacob and Esau in the same college, make them have the same habits and hobbies, want to teach and educate them the same way for some studious, sedate, meditative life is the surest way to court disaster. A Yaakov will, with ever-increasing zeal and zest, imbibe knowledge for the well of wisdom. So Yaakov was a fish in water. He belonged in the OL, and he thrived in the OL. As opposed to turning over the page, as opposed to, while Esau can hardly wait for the time when he can throw away the old books, right? He's the kid who's sitting there waiting for the bell to ring. When am I be able to get to recess? Esau thrived in recess, but at the same time, a whole purpose of life behind his back, a life which he only learned to know from one angle, and a matter for which he could find no disposition of the whole nature. Can you imagine? Could you imagine some kids have to sit through school? One page, do you have it? Is this one? It says 426 on top. Oh, it's double-sided.
Yeah.
Right? So, could you imagine these kids, they sit and all they want to do is have recess all day. That's the most normal thing in the world for them. And they can't sit and learn. And what are we doing? We're saying, well, you got to take an English class and then biology and the Chumash. And they go period to period to period. The only way they can survive is to drug them up. This is not normal. That's not Alpi Darko. Kiazi. And then they're going off the derech. Why are they going off the derech? Because we're not playing the disposition. I once had a student. And, you know, well, what do we do with him? He barely went to class. But he was a great kid. He developed, he used all the technology in the school, he revamped it, he was involved. As soon as he graduated, he moved on to the next thing, and now he's got a big company in electricity, and he sets up tech stuff all over the place. Because that was his talent. And he figured it out. So he says, no, I feel silly, I should be learning. I said, no, you shouldn't be learning. This is the way we want you to utilize your skills. You know, give a little bit more to Tztaka. Learn, you have to learn every single day. You have to be Kovei Ita. But the way to develop your particular skills is not in that way. Had Isaac and Rebecca, we'll call them Yitzhak and Rivka for the sake, studied Esav's nature and character early enough and asked themselves, how could all the strength and energy, agility and courage that lie slumbering in this child be won over to be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the future Gibor, instead of trained to become not a Gibor Tzayid, but a Gibor Lifnei Hashem. Use that strength. Don't suppress the strength that you have, but utilize it in the service of Hashem. Then Yaakov and Esau, with their totally different natures, could still have remained twin brothers in a spirit of life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine we would have had an Esau and a Yaakov, both of them? It could have been like Yisrach HaZvulun in another way. Quite, but Kain and Hevel, we have these pairs all over the place. Quite early in life, Esau's sword and Yaakov's different aspects, the whole history of the ages may have been presented. But it was Vayigdul Anar. When did they notice that they were different? Only when the boys had grown into men. One was surprised is that out of the one and the selfless womb, the selfsame womb, having had exactly the same care, training, and schooling, two such contrasting persons emerged. And that's why Yaakov was successful. This is the famous Gemara in Shabbos. The famous Gemara in Shabbos of Kufna and Vav talks about if you're born under a certain satellite. What does it say if you're born under a certain satellite? Right, world famous Gemara. So if you're born under certain satellites, you're going to let blood. But there are three options in front of you. You could be a mael, which is a mitzvah. You could be a sheichet, which is a matir. Somebody who shechts, it's a nice thing. Not as good as a mael. A mael is the highest level. Somebody who does milas, that's a mitzvah. Or you could be a murderer. The choice is yours. But that's from the kid's perspective. From the parent's perspective, they have to recognize early on that their kid has a talent or they like spilling blood. So now all of a sudden as a parent, you have to channel that energy. You see a very child who's wild, let them play sports. Let them utilize their kochus. To sublimate the talents, they're going to come out in the wrong way. There's no such thing that if we deny any one of our talents in our kids, it means we're denying that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did it for a reason. It's almost a denial in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because if Kadosh Baruch Hu gave your kid with a certain talent that's very unique, and you don't develop it, then you're blaspheming Kadosh Baruch Hu. And, as the Pasuk says, Chedech Lanal Bidarko Ki Az Yazkin, Lo Yosri Mimenu, he's going to Yosri Mimenu, he's going to relieve the Derech. Just could you imagine the pain that kids have by being made to do something that goes against their grain? They will rebel each and every time. As Nimrod, skip a paragraph. As Nimrod, the spiritual heir to Esav, seems to have been, we have already considered the concept of Tzod and its relation to Sod. Rav Shmuel Falhirsch, right? Sayid, Sod, same switch the Sadi to a Samach. Why is it secretive to be a hunter? Because what is the job of a hunter? In the same way, so it implies keeping to oneself a secret plan, right? What is a hunter? He goes low. He's low profile. Doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. He wears the green stuff, whatever they do. His secret plan until the time arrives for it to be carried out. So tzod has the same meaning with additional nuance. What is a hunter? Overcoming difficulties in carrying out of the plan. The tzayid must understand the art of stalking externally to appear quite innocent. Right? You know, you got to get close to that bear. You kind of mosey up. You keep it a secret. And then boom, last second. And still have the thought of killing quietly in his heart in the complete exercise of trickery. There's a little bit of weaselness here. Used in different sphere, diplomacy. Esav understood hunting, the art of self-control. He understood that he had to be self-controlled to maintain himself in certain situations. The whole way in which he had been brought up, so much against the grain of his temperament. His family life only knew good, but he had to hold it back. Which his real nature repressed in patience. Esav repressed everything that he had until the time he became more his own master. What happened with Vayigadlu? So he was tzayid, meaning he kept all of his evil stuff inside until the moment came when he became an adult. And what happened when he became an adult? Bam! He went off to Derek. Became more of his own master, could only have nurtured such a tendency. How often do we see that? We see people that we raised for 18 years in beautiful homes, and the second they leave their parents' home, they run off to Derek. Why are they running off to Derek? Because they weren't raised to fulfill their unique potential. And this is a trick as a parent that is the most difficult thing to figure out. The first thing to do is to figure out what is their talent. Where is their unique talents? Because it's very hard. I said yesterday at Lavaya for Mrs. Goldsmith, for Barbara, I said, I've never seen a woman more spot on about her kids. Every single one of her kids, she understood the unique talents that they had. And then she was able to draw them out. And that's why she's good. Each one of the kids got up at the Levi and spoke beautifully. Why? Because she understood the unique potential. They all felt they had that special relationship because she focused in so much on that unique relationship. And that's why they're all so close, because they have the brach of Yisrael. Ish ki v'rchasa v'rachosa. Because when people understand, meaning, if I'm an artist and you're a learner, so we get along because I know my talent, you know your talent. I'm maximizing what a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me. You're maximizing what you gave me, and then we get along. It's only when I want to be a learner, even though I'm an artist, do I get jealous, we don't get along. But if each one recognizes that they're here to achieve their ultimate goal, then that's the greatest bracha in the world. And then there's not going to be machlokas. This is the lesson that we have to learn from the life of Yitzchak and Rivka. That you have to mechanech l'nar al pi darko, each one according to his own ways. And then if we do that, and they're successful, by fulfilling the pasuk, it says at the end of Mishnah Shem, kol pal Hashem l'maneu, each one according to their own, as long as they do it for the sake of God, that's the highest level. Baruch Hashem. This is going to be tremendous yad and shmaya. And that's the objective of a parent. To try to figure out the inner strength of a kid, maximize their potential. A lot harder than it is to say, you know, easier said than done. Because every kid comes with a pekala and a half. And we have our own biases. So the key is to try to figure out the best way and to try to maximize those things. You have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Like, at what point, like, you know, it's funny, like, in yeshiva, you already see, like, the boys, like, sort of accept, like, okay, well, I'm a reflector for your kid, I'm honors four. I don't belong there, like, they know their place, like, they don't. There's no, like, sort of complex of, like, oh, I'm low class, and, I mean, if anything, I've seen it in negative, I've seen that kids, now, like, when I was in high school, like, you wanted to try to be as high as possible, like, now it's this thing that, like, kids want to try to get to lower classes, which, you know,
less work.
But like when you were in high school, kids wanted to be the kids.
There was no pride. There was no like. Maybe the guys wanted to walk into
the guys in the second year. Maybe wanted to be in the first year, but like the guys at the bottom share were happy being in the bottom share.
Yeah. Some yes, some no.
So like, at what point do you like, you know, like little kids? They just want everything to be fair and equal. And if he gets that, I want that.
It depends on who the Rebbe is. Right?
I think that a good school, if you identify each kid and you are true to where they belong, they're okay with it. And that's
even at a young age, though,
school, they used to track us from first grade.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous looking back.
Right.
Because you can never deny a kid's potential. But again, just because in Gemara he's low, I think that we used to do this. There's something to be said about finding which each kid should be like in it. top class for something. Because there's got to be something he's good at. You know, I didn't speak about this tonight, but like in your own learning, there's an idea of Al Pi Derech. To find what your Derech in learning is, I don't know, I mean, it could be Gemara, it could be Makshav, it could be Chumash, it could be Navi, it could be history, whatever it is, but to find your own Derech. What is the thing that makes you tick? And then putting him in a, like, at least one track higher in that, so he feels good. Because right. Look what I could do. Look what I could do. There's something to be said about that. But for some schools, they're starting very nice. That woodworking and this and that. You know, there's, you know, why does every Jew have to be a white collar worker? Why can't they be blue collar workers? Coding. I mean, some of these kids
they can find someone to teach you.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Not just a club, I think, even a class.
I think so.